Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Call Waiting. It's me, your host, Robin Shawl. Guys, I've missed you. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the last four or five episodes, we pre-recorded because I was on tour and I didn't want you to miss an episode and have a week without Call Waiting. So we pre-recorded. So I haven't been in studio talking to you guys in like 5 weeks and I've missed you so much. Although while I was on tour, I met so many of you guys that love the podcast and listen every week. So I bring people on stage during my show and sometimes I'll be like, oh, tell me something about yourself. And we had almost every show someone be like, I called in on Call Waiting. I called in Uncle Waiting. Like, you remember the person who farted on their uncle or something like that? They came to a show and came on stage. Oh, the person that peed in her friend's brother's bed and then blamed it on the brother came to a show. So it was so nice meeting you guys and laughing with you guys. This tour was absolutely amazing. So since we have 5 weeks to catch up on, this is a very special episode where me and security are going to walk you through the tour, the 5 weeks, meeting you guys, all the ups and downs. We'll take some calls at the end and we'll just catch you guys up because there's been so much. Now, this tour was, it's just so, it's going to sound corny. I'm going to sound corny for a second, but you guys are the greatest humans on the planet. The niceness and love. So many of you will go up to my mom and be like, you did a great job raising Robin. Like, you're not even saying I'm funny. You're not even saying you love the podcast. you're barely complaining about security, but you are like just saying the sweetest things to my parents. You're saying the sweetest things to myself, to me, but you're also so kind to each other. I heard three really nice things. I heard many nice things that you guys did for each other. One was a woman told me that she was at my show and then when her bill came, it was like a dollar. It was like so cheap. And then she looked at the table next to her and it was like one of you guys, you know, with her, your husband, and realized that her drinks went on the person next to her's tab. So she said to the person next to her, oh, our drinks are on your tab. And the person was like, oh, you know, I got it. And the woman goes, no, let me get the waiter. We could, and the person's like, no, we're all Robin's fans. It's all the same. Let me get it. And the fan was like, no, please, let me pay you then. And she's like, no. She goes, we're Robin's fans. We're all the kids. It's good. And she wouldn't let her pay for the drinks. And I just thought that was so beautiful. Another fan came on stage and she won one of my journals. And then she came down and the person that, you know, that she was at the table next to was like, I can't believe you won a journal. And she gave the person the journal, like the person sitting next to her that she didn't know. And the person was like, I can't take this. She goes, no, like, please take it. I want you to have it. And so that person messaged me and she was like, it was the nicest thing anyone had ever done. Like, I was so in awe that someone would do that. And then another person wrote me that she was, you know, this was over this past month. Obviously, there's so much going on and just so many people are hurting. And she was sitting next to someone and they were both talking about how with all the things that are going on in the world right now, just how heavy things are and how hard it is and how they both came to laugh and feel good. And that the person like saw that she was struggling, reached over and just like gave her like a 45 second hug and that it was like what she really needed and couldn't believe a stranger was hugging her. And I thought it was just so beautiful. So I'm rambling, but it has to be said that you guys are the greatest people on the planet. All right, now let's dive into comedy. So this tour, we went to Detroit, we went to Toronto, Seattle, Vancouver, San Diego, Phoenix, Atlanta, and New York City. And every show had It's ups and it's downs. All the shows were up. I'll say that. All the shows were great. But the travel with security was not an easy task. Let's get security in here and we will break it all down. Hi, security.
Hey, Robin.
So what do you think of the tour?
Wow. That's it. All right, we're done. Time for the end segment.
I was going to take a drink. Like I thought you were going to like take it, you know, say something a little more profound.
I would say what I love is about the whole tour was just everybody's in on the same joke. And everyone is.
You.
Yes. Yes. No, I'm actually, yes. Where at one of the shows, I was actually, I think it was the town hall one. I was a little nervous and I was walking through and I heard someone, I don't know who it was, yell, "Hey, security, don't F it up." They actually said the word.
Yeah.
And it was like hearing that, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is good.
Because
okay.
Then you're like, I can mess up because I mess up everything.
Exactly. And everybody's in on the joke. Yeah.
Except for me. I don't find it very funny. Guys, he fucked up at every single show. And you're like, what do you mean? If you haven't seen my live shows. He's okay for the podcast. You know, he answers the phones, right? So he only has one responsibility and he hangs up on at least two people a show. Okay. So that's an easy job. At my live shows, there's video cues, there's music cues, there's lighting cues, and he's the one doing it because there's so many cues and each venue doesn't know. So when we get there, we do an hour tech where their tech person will teach security the lighting board, the soundboard, the projector. And in that hour, security has to learn it and then he has to run the show. Every single show, he messes up.
This something goes wrong. Something.
And you're like, oh, Robin, you can't expect him to learn all that. It's not the tech he's messing up, guys. There's been times where he's been missing because he went to the bathroom. There's been, like, when there's a cue coming up, he's been eating. You kicked in D.C., you kicked a wire and the power
mm-hmm.
went out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
He also books the flights and Airbnbs. Oh, next week, I'm already letting you guys know, next week's episode is Airbnb stories. Because except for one place, we did Airbnbs for this whole tour. Security booked them all. Oh, my goodness. So we'll do Airbnb disasters next week. All right. So you had a good time, though?
Yes, I had a great time. Great. It was
fun. Really fun.
Wow. That's that word. Wow.
All right. So let's start. Let's go in order. Detroit, we came to you first. And I was so nervous because I hadn't done this show in months. And I was like, and we were adding a bunch of new stuff. So I was like really nervous. And we get on the plane. Now, I fly a lot because of the, all my tours and, you know, I performed overseas and all this stuff. So on JetBlue, I'm Mosaic, which means I get to go on the plane first. And when we're about to take off, a flight attendant will come up to me and very loudly go, "Miss Shaw, thank you for flying with us. Thank you for being a Mosaic." And a lot of times I'm embarrassed because like they don't say it to anyone else. Like they say it just to me. And then I'm like, thank you. But I didn't know how much I loved it until security was sitting in my seat and my mom was sitting next to him and I was in the aisle and the flight attendant comes over and looks at security and my mom and goes, "Mr. and Mrs. Shaw," thinking they were married and thinking my mom was me or security was me. "Mr. and Mrs. Shaw, thank you for flying with us. Thank you for being Mosaic." And then she just looks at me and just walks away. And I'm like, I'm the Mosaic.
And then she came over like multiple, with yeah. the drinks, like, "Mr. and Mrs. Shaw, would you like anything?"
I'm like, I'd like something. And then like I went to go use the bathroom in the front. And she's like, "You're gonna have to use the one in the back." But guess where security got to pee?
On the wing.
So, all right. So that was the start. Then... we get to the club and look, every club is different. First of all, these places, thank you for hiring me. If I talk any shit, no, it's just because I like to share these stories, not because I don't want you to book me again. But so this first place, their tech room was in the green room, which was a closet on the side of the stage. So security had to stay in the closet / green room for the entire show to run the tech.
Yes.
How was that?
It was weird. Only because usually I'm in the back of the club or the theater.
Oh, also, you had to keep running out. I just remember this. I had to help people up, and because the stage was high up and they didn't have steps to get on the stage. So security had to keep running out to help people on the stage.
Every single time. I literally running, doing that. And then, because also I was recording the show, so I had to like run to the back of the theater to like turn on and off the camera because it was time. I was running all over the place.
And so what, during our tech, the guy that was helping us, security would ask him a question like, oh, where's the lights? And the guy would go, all you got to do is ask. And then security's like, I did. And then security would be like, where's the line for the projector? And he goes, all you got to do is ask. And security's like, I did. That's what I just did. And that was just like his response to everything. So security, did you ask him?
All you got to do is ask.
All you got to do is ask. All right. Then, that was the show where the contestant came on the stage and said that she was on the podcast.
Yes.
For being in her brother's bed.
Correct.
The friend's brother's bed.
Mm-hmm.
I loved how many people during this tour said they loved the podcast. That
I know,
made
me
so
too.
Happy.
Very happy.
Not one compliment on the end segment.
Not one. Not one.
But I have an idea.
Yeah.
On an episode, like maybe your birthday that just passed next year, we should do an episode of only end segments.
Wait, why is a sound engineer leaving?
That just quits. They're like, we don't want this podcast anymore. And then the whole Detroit went great. Then when we were going back to the airport, we got an Airbnb.
Oh, wait, Robin. What about the Uber that picked us up in Detroit?
That's what I was saying.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, my God. I take it back. No end segment episode. See, I give one compliment, and he gets too excited. So we're going back. An Uber picks us up. Wait, did I say an Uber picks us up and then you go, Robin, about the Uber?
Were did you? Can you rewind? Because I don't know.
I don't know either, but I really do think I said it.
And I don't know if you did. I thought you said something else.
No, I think, and we're going to have to listen back. But I think I said, so when we were going back to the airport and Uber picked us up and you said,
no,
Robin.
No, you said when we were going back to the Airbnb.
Okay, look, clearly neither of us were listening to what I was saying. Okay, so the Uber was picking us up, and we're with our dear old mother, right? And we love her. She's great, but she can't get in. She's great. she's older, right? And, she's not as limber. This huge pickup truck is our Uber. The guy must have come from a construction site. Oh, no, because he was wearing a vest. It was you had to like climb to get up. Also, there's no trunk. So you'd have to throw your suitcase up high to get in. And then my mom couldn't get in. And we were like, sir, sorry.
Like it was a full on pickup truck.
Yeah. So, and then that was the end of our Detroit. Detroit started and ending travel was not great, but that was Detroit.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We go to Toronto. Now, Toronto was again in this first week of October when everything was going on in the Middle East and first off, my heart was just like just breaking, just watching the news, seeing all these innocent lives just being lost. So many families affected, so many people affected, not just in Israel and Gaza, but around the world. Just so many people hurting and affected. And on top of that, the rise of anti-Semitism was just growing and growing. And specifically that week on the internet, there was just a lot of people, videos saying that on October 13th, there would be some sort of violence against Jewish people. And I was getting this sent a lot because on October 13th, I was set to perform in Toronto. And not just, I'm Jewish, but I also have a lot of Jewish followers. And so I was getting a lot of messages of people saying, you know, I love you, Robin, but with everything going on, I'm just too scared to be going to a big event like this. Also, a lot of schools and temples were sending out emails telling people, please be, you know, alert, please be careful. And I was just so upset with what's going on in the world. And then two, I had this responsibility of keeping, it's a big theater in Toronto. I think it was a little over 400 seats and it was sold out. And I have this responsibility, not just to keep me safe, but to keep everyone who's coming to my show safe. So I called my dad on like October 11th, I think this was. And I said, do I cancel? Like, what should I do? And my dad, who's not a rabbi, but I feel like could be a rabbi because he's very wise and good with advice. He said, Robin, there must be lightness in darkness. We must keep putting some lightness in such a dark world, in such a dark time. You are absolutely not canceling. So then I messaged my agents and managers and I said, can we just double check? I want to make sure there's security. I want to make sure everyone feels safe. I felt good, but like, I'm inviting all of you to my shows. I want to make sure everyone is safe. So this is why, you surround yourself by good people, because my managers and agents wrote right back saying, if there's not security, we will make sure there's security. And within an hour, the theater said, we will make sure there's security. The promoter said they will be secure. Like, everyone was just, no one was belittling how I felt. No one was belittling how my followers felt. Everyone understood that this was such a hard time for people. And it's so sad and it's so upsetting. But everyone did their part to just make sure that everyone who did come to this show felt, as heavy as everyone's heart was, that they would feel safe in my presence. And so I was struggling. You know, I keep it together. I make sure for you guys, I am that lightness. But as a human, as a person, I was just breaking. Every message I got of people who were scared to come to my comedy show, I wasn't upset that you weren't coming. That part doesn't, it's not a thing about me. It was about the fact that I felt so bad that you didn't feel safe in a area where there was a Jewish woman performing, So I get to the theater and then they were amazing. They were amazing. It actually was kind of funny. Like, this is why you can find comedy in the darkest places, which is how I went viral. I understand I went viral during a pandemic because I made a video about my grandma dying. So if there's anyone who knows that you can find light in darkness, it is me. But I show up and they have tripled their security. There is so many security guards. So we get there and the house manager's like, Robin, after I set up, she's like, I'm going to introduce you to your security team. And then here's all of these guys, right? And I was like, hi. And she's like, so Robin, why don't you take over? Me? I'm in charge. I was like, okay. And I was like, first off, hi. I was like, second, just so you know, this is my brother. We call him security. Throughout the show, I'm going to say security sucks and security always fucks up and security is useless. Please know I'm not talking about you. Please don't leave. Please don't storm the stage. I'm referring to this man right here, the short, bald guy. No, that's who sucks, not you. And then they're like, okay, they're not laughing, obviously. They're like very like, rrr. So then they were each going around saying like what their jobs are. So they were like, the two of them were like, we'll be standing at the front of the room. Then they're like, we'll be standing in the middle of the room. We're standing in the back of the room. And then two of them were like, and we're going to be patting every single person down as they come in. And I was like, well, it's a lot of women. So if they ask for seconds, please say yes. And they're like, what? I was like, nothing. I'm sorry. I forgot we don't joke about scary matters.
You've already talked about the show, but there's something you're even totally forgetting. Going back to us trying to get to Toronto. Okay,
security, I will get there. Oh my God, he's totally tuned
out. No,
I agree. But hold on, I just want to finish this one thing before.
Okay.
I did leave a big part out, but we'll get there. But I just do want to thank my managers, my agents, and the theater for just doing everything possible. So not just me, but that my followers who were feeling uneasy about coming into a space with so many people on a day where there was supposed to be something scary happening. I just want to say thank you to everyone who made that day so safe. I also want to thank the people. I know I had so many messages from people who said, I cried on the way there, but I'm so glad I came. Thank you. You know, I just want you to know, if you came that night or if you came to any of the shows or if you've done anything that you've been scared, it's so great. And I'm so proud of you. And I just want to say, if you did not come to a show because you've been scared or just heartbroken, please know you did not miss out. I mean, you're like, the show stinks. No, but you did not miss out. It just meant you're meant to see a different, you know, the next round. So you're going to see a better version. I'm going to keep building. It's going to be great. You didn't miss out. It just was not the time for you to see it. It's okay. And lastly, I just want to say, just on this note, to everyone who's hurting, just please know I'm sending my love, and my whole family is sending our love and prayers just for better days ahead. Okay, sorry, security. Now we could go to your life. Can you believe I was being sincere and security wanted me?
No, it's
okay. All right, back on topic. I feel like that was a really important.
How can you
talk about this tour
without that? Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed.
Now
let's talk about what you did.
Okay, now let's talk about you. Of course he wants me to talk about the one time I fucked up. So we're leaving for Toronto.
Can you repeat that?
We were leaving for Toronto.
No, the part that you
fucked up.
Yeah, okay.
But here's the thing. Did you not just hear the story I just said? I had a lot on my plate. I was putting together a team of of like security.
Yes, okay, true.
Right? When majority of the time for my comedy, I'm coming up with dick jokes.
Correct.
And now we're figuring out how to pat people down. Which felt really good, by the way. But security gets in the Uber. Then he comes.
Well, first we were back still in New York at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. So we're in the Uber. We're about to go to Toronto. He gets to the Uber from his apartment, then comes, picks me up. I get in the Uber and then we're driving. I'm on the west side. We get to the east side of New York, which in traffic takes about 25 minutes. We're on the Uber. We're getting there. And security goes, I said, do you have your computer for the videos? He goes, yes. And he's like, you have your passport? And I go, oh no, I don't have my passport. He's like, what? I was like, I don't have my passport. He's like, Robin, now, because we're in traffic, for the Uber to turn around would take 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I'm going to run. He said, what do you mean you're going to run? I was like, I'm just going to run across town. And he's like, go. I was like, okay. Because we have a flight. We're not early airport goers. We like to go right on time. So I said, this is what you should do. With the Uber, you turn around. I'm going to start running and we'll meet wherever we meet. And he's like, okay. So guys, I'm not a runner. First off, I have short legs and bad lung expansion. Lungs.
Yeah. I think that works. Yeah.
But oh gosh, my little 4'11" legs ran like the wind blows. Is that what Forrest Gump said?
Yeah, that was perfect. Like that. Yeah.
So I ran. I get to my apartment. I get the passport. I come down. As I come down, security's pulling up with the Uber.
And we just jumped back in
and we took off. We lost maybe 20 minutes.
Maybe 20 minutes.
But the running was smart.
It was, because we saved a good few
minutes. 5 minutes,
yeah.
6 minutes for me going up, looking for
also the stress of us going across town in the traffic, going,
yeah.
Oh gosh.
And also, it took me time to find the passport, mm-hmm. because I had forgotten about the passport. So that's how Toronto started, okay? So then, like we said, the stress of the show, it was just really heavy and sad. But then here's what's so amazing about comedy. I got on stage, and I'm sorry to all the other cities. This goes down as what I think is one of my best shows to date. I was so sharp and funny. And then the people who came on stage were so sharp and funny. And you could feel everyone in that room. The tension was so high. And then everyone was, from the first laugh, let it all out. And everyone was so desperate to laugh and feel good and have some release and be together with like hundreds of people who just wanted to love and be happy. And it was, I just loved Toronto show so much. I'm going down and saying, town hall's closed, but Toronto may have, just because of all the emotion attached to it, was one of my favorite shows, I think, of all time.
It's very true, where sometimes the size of the audience doesn't matter. It's...
Size does matter, but
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it's what you're feeling.
Yeah,
at the time. And now, okay, I'm done. I am done. I'm not talking.
Less security.
I'm done.
So anyway, Toronto was just, thank you everyone who came out. That was a very, very special show. It was not an easy show. It was emotional, but it was beautiful. So thank you very much to Toronto. Anyway, so then after Toronto, we head home. We had a couple of days, I think 2 or 3 days, and then we went to Seattle. Now, we get to Seattle, and remember, there's a time difference. We fly in at night. The next morning, I had to wake up, do TV, and then, I said bullshit on air, and you can't curse.
No, you said it. I was watching in the lobby.
I don't curse that much.
No, you don't.
You never curse.
Never. You never hear me curse.
Yeah. I'll drop a fucker shit once in a while, but not often.
And on television.
Never. Luckily, there was a delay, so they were able to bleep, like, go beep, which is, I think, fun, you know?
When I heard...
Also, it's like a news show. This is not like a late night show.
It was a full-on news. I remember I'm backstage, I'm in the lobby, and I see that. My mouth, like, my hands cover my mouth, like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. So this is... Guys, when I first started comedy, maybe I was, like, 3 or 4 years into comedy, I was performing at Caroline's on Broadway, which is, like, a... Well, they closed, but it was a big club in Times Square. And when I got there, they're like, Robin, there's some big agents here tonight. And I was like, okay, excellent. And then I was like, this is going to be my best set ever. And I don't really curse on stage. Again, I may say a shit or a fuck once in a while, but I'm not filthy. I'm really not. I get on stage and instead of being like, hello, everyone, I go, hello, you little cunts. Guys. Be honest, have you ever heard me say the C word? Ever, before right now. That is not a word in my vocabulary. I just don't, I mean, sometimes I don't have a big problem with that word. It just doesn't come out. And the whole audience was like, huh? Like it wasn't even in a joke and I didn't recover.
Nope.
No, so it was kind of similar to the bullshit on the news show. So anyway, then I had a show, two shows that night in Seattle, and I was so jet lagged and so tired. But it was so funny because the first show, I just kept messing up. But like at a point where like the audience kept correcting me because I was like telling this bit and I kept mixing up the names and the audience was like, no, the name was Kerry. Like, but the audience was really drunk and I was so...
Everyone was drunk.
Yeah.
There.
And my brain was off from the jet lag. So that was just a really fun show.
Yeah.
Both the shows were so fun and chaotic.
It was fun and chaotic.
And in a movie theater.
Yes, it was in a movie theater.
That was weird.
Yes, it was.
So then after Seattle, my mom didn't come with us to Seattle or Vancouver. She went to all the other shows and she was supposed to come with us. So from Seattle to Vancouver, we never canceled her flight. We just like, it was last minute that she decided not to come. And we were on the flight and it was delayed over an hour. And eventually they come on. They're like, so sorry. We're just waiting for one person. We just want to double check. There isn't a Deborah Shawl on here. And that's my mom's name. And we're like, oh my God, have they been holding the plane for my mom this whole time? They held, because when security and I checked in, remember, I buy everyone's flight. So I checked in all three of us, not realizing. So they thought Deborah Shawl was in the airport, but not on the plane.
They were, and because we weren't actually in the airport, they might have been paging her like,
oh, yeah.
So is anyway. There a Deborah Shawl? Deborah Shawl, please come to gate 15.
To everyone who has gone from Seattle to Vancouver, sorry. If you missed your connecting flight, that was our fault. Sorry. So then we get it to Vancouver. That show was great. Vancouver was great. There were no big notes. You messed up a couple of times, but nothing.
Just
dramatic.
A couple.
We stayed in an apartment Airbnb. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do, we're not going to get too much to these Airbnbs because next week we're going to do a real Airbnb.
Yeah.
Because remember, these were all Airbnbs.
And this one was a fun one.
This is the one with the murder.
Shh.
Oh, well, now I could tell them. Now they're going to think there's a murder.
No, well.
So security murdered someone.
Oh, no.
So it was around Halloween. So we went to the 9th floor where the gym was, and I wanted to see it. We're hearing from, like, the party room, like, bloody murder, someone screaming. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, should we call 911? And security's like, I guess. Because, like, there was no doorman. It's, like, an apartment. And I was like, should we call 911? Guess. And I was like, I'm just going to go. It's something's, like, I really thought someone was getting killed. I go. They were having a Halloween party. And it was, like, a tape player just scream on loop. So that was fun. I was really scared. But can we talk about how I, in the face of danger, was ready to walk in? Not you.
Not me.
You're an idiot.
I was by the elevator. I was pressing the button. I was like, what are you doing?
Well, it's just like, I didn't feel like we had time to call 911. It sounded like someone was dying then.
It did.
And you're like, yeah, which is why
I was going to the elevator.
All right. Vancouver's the place with your pants, right?
Oh my gosh.
Next morning before we went to the plane, we had like a couple of hours. We were walking up by the water and someone came up to security and was like, sir, you have something on the back of your pants. He turns around. Guys, it wasn't just it didn't look like a poop stain. It looked like a blowout. You ever have a baby have a blowout? That's what it looked at. To this day, we still don't know what it was.
No clue.
We don't know if it was if it was icing.
I don't know how it even happened, but it was like
a lot.
A lot. But it wasn't poop.
At least not yours. We don't know what you said.
I don't know, but.
Which brings us to our next city. Oh, wait, no. That happened in. Wait, what city was that?
That was in Seattle.
Oh, my God. We got to back up. So we land in Seattle. We get to our Airbnb, and then I was like, let's go to CVS because I was out of some toiletries. We get into an Uber. The second we get in, the Uber driver goes, oh, did one of you step in shit? And we're like, what? He's like, did one of you step in shit? We're both looking at our feet, and we're like, no. And he's like, oh, okay. Like, implying we smelled like shit. Like, he thought one of us stepped in shit. No, we just guess we're smelling.
And then, like, we got to.
And then I had a whole complex for the rest of the tour thinking that my luggage smelled.
Yeah.
But no one else for the rest of the tour asked.
And especially when we left the CVS, we got to the next Uber. We were just, like, waiting for him to say.
And then Frank, my ex, was at the Seattle show, and I made him smell me. I'm like, do I smell like shit? Like, and he was like, no, but. So that was, so we had some there.
Yeah.
All right, so then we make it to San Diego. Mm-hmm. And that's where Frank lives. So we stayed with Frank for the first night, and then I stayed with him the next night, but you went to the Airbnb and met with our parents. But what did you want to talk about with San Diego? What was some big anything? Show was great.
Yeah, the show went really well.
Oh, wait! San Diego shows when Dad started moving the furniture at the comedy
goodness.
Club. Guys,
it was
my
parents. So embarrassing.
My parents, they don't understand that this is my job. Like, they think we're all just playing make believe, right? So we get to the comedy club. He doesn't like how some of the seats and tables can't see the screen that well. So Security and I are doing tech. We're talking to the manager. We look over. My dad is moving tables so that people could see better. And not just moving it like an inch or stuff. He's picking them up and moving them to the other side of the room. And the floor manager is like, excuse me, sir, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm just moving the seat so everyone could see the videos well.
Like, not realizing, like, the wait staff probably has, like, zones that they have to work with.
Yeah.
And there's a seating chart.
Yeah, and he thought he was, like, helping the club. He's like, no, I just want to make it so that your customers are happy. I'm like, Dad, this is not your job. Go sit down. So sit down. And then when people are coming in, people were, like, going to go sit at those bad seats. And he would go up to them and be like, oh, tell them you don't want to sit there. Like, I'm like, oh, my God, you're so embarrassing. What else? Anything else? Oh, wait. I did morning news in San Diego.
Yes.
Guys, oh my gosh. So this is morning news, and this is Fox Morning News. Okay, they're very serious. And so they were talking about my goals list viral video, and the news anchor goes, so do you have any other goals planned? And I was like, yes, actually, I need to ride on a fire truck. And she's like, oh, well, we station blah blah follows us. And she looks right into the camera. She goes, so to all the firefighters, Robin wants to take a ride on your truck and go round and round. And so then I look at the camera and I go, yeah, I do. And then she gets so red and she goes, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. I can't, like, she didn't know what she said. I'll just say, I don't know if Fox News is going to have me back on. So, yeah, San Diego was a hit. And then that night, we drove straight after the show because we had Phoenix the next night.
It's
a 6-hour drive. So we rented this huge car because it was me, security, my mom, my dad. So we invited my ex-boyfriend so that he would drive. We didn't invite him for that. We invited him because we love him. But we were like, security was going to drive. And then we're like, do you want to drive for maybe a little bit? And he's like, okay. So we're going to drive 2.5 hours at night and the next morning drive 4 hours. So security's like, Frank, you drive maybe like 20 minutes and then I'll take over. Let me just decompress. He drove. Security fell asleep. And Frank drove the entire way. Not only that, the next morning, we had 4 hours the next morning. Frank drove 3 hours and 55 minutes. And then when we're 5 minutes away, security goes, Frank, pull over. I'm going to drive the rest of the way.
But let me just say, those five, we were stuck. I was stuck in traffic.
So it was a 1-minute drive that took security 5 minutes.
Because it was traffic. I dealt with all the traffic.
All right. So then we get to the Phoenix show. Oh, first we get to the Airbnb. My dad.
Oh, my goodness.
He's so embarrassing. He put his, like, it's an apartment complex. He put his soda down, like, because he was bringing up the luggage to the second floor. It was a walk up on someone else's porch.
Yeah, and left it there.
Not because he's rude, like he forgot.
Yeah.
And so then they took the soda and put it in front of our front door.
Like saying,
asshole. You New York trash. Get out of Phoenix, please. So then the show was great, except for the fact this is where you messed up the most.
Yeah, this was my disaster show.
So about 5 minutes before the show, security sends me a text. The videos and sound is not working. Correct. You're not going to get to play any of your videos. But 50% of the show is video. So I said, what am I supposed to do? He goes, I don't know. It's not working. I'm like, okay, great. So I tell my opener, I don't know if you're going to be able to play. Don't bring up the video. Just bring me straight up. Because usually he brings up a video first. Okay. So 1 minute before the opener goes on stage, security goes, videos are working. We got it. I was like, okay, great. So I tell my opener, you're going to bring... Instead of bringing me up, bring that first video up. The video will bring me up. He goes, okay. He goes on stage. The second the opener hits the stage, security goes, oops, my bad. It doesn't work. And I was like, nope. Well, now what are we going to do? I just told the opener he's on stage. And I was like, all right, when he brings up the video, I'll just go on stage. 1 minute before I'm supposed to go on stage, security messages me, the videos are working.
... I think. I made sure I put that in there just in case it didn't. I didn't want to lie.
It worked for the first one. Then I go on stage. I do my opening. Then I go to introduce the second video. Not working. You want to know why? Security knocked the computer off the desk. Like he was turning and he knocked the computer, fell on the floor, and everything got like deleted, erased. Why did you have to re-download everything?
Because I don't know what it just, they were all gone. I don't know what happened when it fell. They were gone. So I had to contact my computer in New York to resend it.
Oh my God.
But I was able to get at least within a few seconds so that you had a video ready to go.
Yeah. So, okay. So,
but I was sweating. Oh my goodness.
So every time I'm about to play another video throughout the show, I'd always be like, security, is there going to be a video like in front of the audience? It was so embarrassing. Otherwise, the show was great. I loved the Phoenix audience. And then we come home. Oh, wait. Also, my mom and my dad are not sick, but they both have terrible coughs for the last 5 months of their lives, right? They've been to the doctor. Neither one of them are sick. They're both healthy. They just both have terrible, like, old man coughs, including my mom. And so on the way back from Phoenix, one of them was in the aisle, one of them was in the window seat, and there was a person in between them, and the two of them were coughing so loud. I felt so bad for this person. Thing,
we were all the way towards the front of the plane. They were towards the middle, so we were like far, but we went to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, we could always see them. I felt so bad. The woman just kept putting her face in her shirt. All right, so anyway... Okay, then we go to Atlanta and we get to the Airbnb. Then the Uber takes us to the venue. He pulls up into a diner. I said, no, this is a diner, not a comedy club. He's like, well, this is the address. And then I look on the marquee of the diner, says Robin Schulz, headliner. And I go to security. I said, am I performing in a diner tonight? We walk in. Guys, it was a fucking diner. It was a diner. You walk in, the first thing you see are the display of cakes and desserts. To the right are booths with the average age of 108. And I was like...
And even had the little jukebox.
Yeah,
on
it was a diner. And then to the left, you open a door and there was like a comedy club. Like it was an actually comedy club. But it's a diner with like the size... And it's a nice size comedy club. It's like 250, 300 seats. Like it's a comedy club once you go in. But it's in a diner. So everyone who came that night had to show up to a diner and go, this is where Robin has us coming tonight, a freaking diner. But we laughed. We had such a good sense of humor about it. Like that was probably the hardest we laughed during tech because we were just laughing hysterically.
Yeah, we were laughing.
And that was a really good show. That was really funny. I brought someone on stage and I said, oh, tell us something interesting about yourself. And he said, oh, we're out tonight celebrating my wife beating cancer. And as soon as he said that, the entire room gave her like a huge applause that lasted for at least like a minute. And she was crying. It was just such a beautiful moment. Atlanta was a great show. Yes. That was a show where when I posted the ticket link for Atlanta, the club had messed up and gave me a porn link. And so I posted a porn link to my Instagram and TikTok, went to sleep, not knowing that 200 people watched a blowjob that night. Thinking, what does Robin do with her career? No, it wasn't a porn show. It was a diner show. Get it right. All right. So then we come home from Atlanta. We had one day before the New York Comedy Festival where I was one of the main headliners at Town Hall. If you're not a New Yorker, Town Hall is a historical landmark here. It's been around forever. And it's a beautiful, beautiful old theater. My uncle, who's a musician, played there in 1976. It has so much history there. And I was doing my show there. And I want to say it was like one of the best nights of my life. It was the show was so tight because of this tour. Plus we had added all this fun stuff. Like we had a barbershop quartet. Yep. We like added all these really cool elements to the show. It was packed. And there was this one beautiful part where, you know, I'm singing a ukulele. The barbershop quartet is on. I brought up fans. They're singing. We have costumes on. And I go, the last line of the song, well, second to last line of the song is, you know, this song's about dating Robin Schulz. But to everyone, you know, this is my dream. Thank you for coming out to Town Hall. I kid you not. The 1500 seat theater, it wasn't sold out, but it was packed. You know, it was probably about 1400. Everyone just stands up and starts applauding and cheering and going wild. And here's the thing. They weren't applauding me. I know it sounds like they were applauding me. They weren't. It's just that this was such a dark month. This was such a hard month. This was such an emotional month. And people at that point, an hour and a half into the show, got to be happy for an hour and a half. And I think people were just so enjoying happiness that was taken from them this past month that I think that's why the people jumped to their feet, because it was like they weren't celebrating me. They were celebrating a moment of just joy that we hadn't felt in a while, especially in a big group of people like this. And the applause, it was almost embarrassing. It wasn't embarrassing. It was emotional. I was doing everything in my power not to cry because the applause wasn't ending. It went on and on. I just stood there because there was still more to the song and still more to the show. Mm-hmm. It was like I could bow and go off. There was more. So I just stood there and everyone was just cheering. And it was almost an emotional cheer. It wasn't like an applaud, like funny. It was an applaud of just
Happiness.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, it was so overwhelming. You could see people's eyes were welling up. It was just a lot. And then we continued the end of the number and people were applauding. And it was just so beautiful. And then, you know, I finished. We did the end of the show and I bowed and I just looked out. And it was just so many of you guys, so many of my friends and family and New York and people flew in. It was just seriously one of the best nights of my life. And I can't thank all of you enough, not just for coming, but if you guys weren't following me, listening to this podcast, being so supportive, I wouldn't get an opportunity like this. So I'm just so grateful to all you guys. So, yeah.
You know, I don't want to make this about me.
Oh, God.
But you did have me change a lot of the show minutes before.
Oh, because you know what? This was such an exciting thing. And I just kept adding to the show. I kept getting ideas every day. Up until 5 minutes before the show, I'm like, hey, security, can you add a video? Can you make this video? But you were great. You said, okay.
I said, okay. But except halfway through the show, my elbow knocked into the mouse.
Yeah, no, but that one was not even that noticeable.
But then what happened was I tried to like fix it, and suddenly you heard in the entire town hall, boop, boop, like the computer saying, nope.
But that was it. I was happy you did that. Because it was like, oh, yeah, security's here. But anyway, I just want to thank everyone and security. You really did a great job on this tour.
You did too.
Thank you. One of us did great. So I'm really happy about that. So that is the tour.
It was great.
So I was thinking, Regina DeChico, she's called in on the show before. She's one of my best friends. She opened for me at Town Hall. So I thought it'd be really cool for her to be one of our calls today, just to get her perspective of the evening.
Okay.
All right, security, get Regina on the line.
All right, Robin, we have Regina on the line.
Hi, Regina.
Hello, Robin. How are you?
Wait, are you on your headphones?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Do I sound terrible?
Yes.
First of all, I can't.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go on speakerphone? Wait, I'll go on speakerphone. Hold on. Let's
see. I just want everyone to know I've made an executive decision. We're keeping this in the podcast. You will hear.
Hello.
This is much better. Okay.
Great.
All right. So first off, I just want to say thank you for opening for me at Town Hall, having my best friend be the opening comic and bringing me on is just such a full circle, happy thing for me. So thank you.
Oh my gosh, you're welcome. No, I absolutely feel the same way, to like be a part of it, but not to be in the audience, to be able to sort of watch it from backstage and participate. And then I don't know if you remember, like right before when we like, I was like, oh my God, I think I'm going to cry. And you're like, we can't cry yet.
Yeah. Because what happened was, guys, the first show I did after the pandemic was at Caroline's on Broadway. It was completely sold out. And now, yes, pre-pandemic, when I would perform for audiences, no one knew who I was. And now we came out of the pandemic. My first show back was sold out. And Regina hosted, and she, yes, brings me to the stage. And it's just like people screaming and standing up. And I get to the stage, I hug Regina, and we both just start crying. Yeah.
Funny, and I was like, you hadn't even done anything yet, but you'd done all the things already, kind
yeah,
of. It was like,
yeah,
the first time I realized, like, oh my God, it's all different.
Yes.
Like, it's all different.
Yes. Are you going to make me cry right now? Because we've been at this career for so long and together, and then we went through the pandemic together, and then, you know, my whole life changed, and you got to be there right by my side. And, oh, I just love you so much.
No, I love you so much. I love you so much.
The best thing was I get to Town Hall and I realize I left my earrings at home, and I was like, oh, I'm so sad. And then Regina gets there and I see she's wearing hoop sparkly earrings, right? Which, yes, is exactly what I left at home, was hoop sparkly earrings. So Regina's like, take mine. And I said, no, because you look too beautiful. What we're going to do is you're going to do your set. As you're walking off, you're going to hand me the earrings and I will put it on and I will walk right on stage. And Regina's like, this is an even better plan. Why should we make this easy? Like,
what? Yeah, exactly. We should add an element. But Robin at first tried to be so sweet about it. She was like, no, you wear them. Do you have an extra pair? And I was like, No, Robin, I didn't pack an extra pair of earrings in case something happened to my other earrings.
That's so funny. So, but guess what, guys? She wore the earrings, and then we did the pass off. You would think before someone goes on stage in front of, you know, 1,400 plus people, they're thinking about their lines or, you know, no. what the audience is like. Nope. Regina and I focused on these hoop earring pass off, and it went off perfectly.
It did. And we were also emotional, but because we were both wearing sequins, we were also afraid we were going to get stuck together. So we couldn't hug.
Oh my God. Yes, this is so funny because my shirt kept sticking to myself because of the sequins, so we wouldn't hug each other. So she came off, so we just like poked each other in excitement.
Yeah. We poked each other, exchanged earrings, and then you wouldn't let me make you cry.
Yeah, there was a lot. There was a lot of not normal behavior in that very short amount of time. Because you gave me the earrings, you went to go hug me, we couldn't hug, and then you said something, and I said, don't make me cry, and then I went on stage.
Yeah. I think you're a bitch. You're me.
and then a barbershop quartet walked by.
So the best part about backstage, which you don't understand, is like I watching in the green room is one thing, but it's so much fun to actually watch Robin and then be able to see the people. So like I like to watch backstage and like peek out, but like what was so complicated about the show was there was a barbershop quartet backstage. So there's like four men who I'm like trying to get past so I can watch Robin. And then like they have hats, like they're taking up what was
there's a picture there's I will when this comes out I'll post the picture on Instagram. You took a picture backstage of the four barbershop quartet. Yes. Just standing there, and it's so good. Just for time's sake, wrap up, what was the feeling backstage for you at Town Hall?
It was amazing. I know I'm being silly, but it's like there was like the stage manager, but like everybody backstage was just laughing and smiling, and it was so amazing. So I couldn't even be mad that they were blocking me, but like I was because everyone was so joyous. Like, but it wanted me to be like, guys, Robin is my best friend. If you could just move out of the way, that would be great. But like, it was so great because we kept like looking at each other. And then like, when you're doing the dating game, they'd be like, oh my God, did you hear what Michael said? And then like the barbershop car tech guy, he's like, but wait, how does she know Eric? And I'm like, oh my God, they're in Robin's world. Like right? Everybody backstage got so, and then like, I'm like telling the stage manager when you showed the picture of your uncle, I'm like, you just wait until this. I'm like, you think this is a lot. I was like, wait until grandma's video. Like I'm telling
you know, so I had told Regina, when I'm bowing, stick your arm out so you can film the audience, you know, clapping. And yes. So Regina, Sakura and I were going through the video because we had the new video. As I'm bowing, all you see is this arm stick out. And we just were dying laughing because I'm bowing and all you see is this hand from the side just sticking out. It is so funny, especially because we're sending this video out to people, you know, and we just, look, you only know if you know to look for it, but the arm is so funny.
Well, because like I peeked and like everyone was so focused on you. I was like, no one's going to see my arm.
No, you can't, except for us watching the video. You just see an arm go bam, and then it just stands there with the phone. I love it so much.
Well, because I was like, no, I need to get all the people. And I'm like, they're looking at Robin, right? Is everyone looking at Robin?
You were good. All right, Regina, thank you so much. And thank you for being my best friend. And thank you for being so funny. You make it so easy for me to go on stage because you just get the audience so hyped. So I love you.
Like I said, they were so, it makes me so happy to just give them to you and be like, Robin, they're yours and they're ready. It's such an exciting, like as a friend, but as a comic, like as of everything, when I like say it's like when it becomes like your show where you're taking the reins, it's so exciting because I know what's happening. Like, oh, it's just great. It's the best
so
feeling.
Good. And we have so many other big shows coming. We'll be announcing them next week, but we have, Regina's going to be opening for me at some other really big theaters coming up. So
look for my hand at the end of the show.
It's a beautiful hand. All right. Love you, Regina. I'll talk to you later. Robin. All right. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, that was so funny. The hand. All right, let's do another call. Belinda, who's fills in for security when he's not here, a fan favorite. Security's not here. But you even said said how much you love her episode.
I do love her episode.
She does
she's
really
great.
Good job. All right. Anyway, at Town Hall, she sold the posters in the lobby. So, security, get Belinda on the phone.
Okay. Okay, Robin, we have Belinda on the line.
I thought he was going to drop the call like as a bitter employee.
My rival.
Belinda.
Robin.
We did Town Hall.
You did Town Hall.
No, I watched you know from what? I'm gonna share something. I've only very, very few. Well, no one knows. Maybe security knows. I almost didn't do Town Hall, and Belinda is the reason I did. This is a true story. I wanted to do a New York City residency. I wanted to do like a small theater and do like a monthly show here. And then the New York Comedy Festival offered for me to do Town Hall, which is like such a big deal. So I messaged Belinda. I said, New York Comedy Festival asked me to do Town Hall, but I really have my heart doing a residency at a, you know, small little theater, like once a month or twice a month. And Belinda she doesn't even text back. She calls. She said, Robin, you're doing Town Hall. She's like, we're not discussing this. This is not a debate where we can make a pros and cons list. And I said, yeah. She's like, yeah. And then as soon as she said that, like, it then clicked. Like, I was like, oh yeah, I'm being upset. Like, I don't even, you know what it was? Like, I just had my mind set on doing a residency and I wasn't expecting anything. So, but just thank you for just shaking it out. Like, that was so silly, that call. But yes. So we did Town Hall.
I'm all for everyone like making their own decisions in life and everything, but I couldn't take it anymore. I was like, this choice is so obvious that I have to say something.
Yeah, you didn't even text back. You're like, Robin.
I was like, come on, let's be real here.
So
Town Hall.
Oh my gosh. So you got there early because you were going to sell the posters. When I first booked Town Hall after that call, I knew I was going to sell posters. And Belinda said, can I sell the posters? And I'm like, no, you're going to be inside. You're going to enjoy the show. I'm going to hire someone. She's like, I want to do it. And I was like, no. Then about a week before Town Hall, I said, Belinda, you're going to sell posters.
And I was so happy. That's all I wanted.
And you're like, can I get a headset and a clipboard? And guess what? The day of the show, I got her a package. She opened it up. And what was inside?
My very own headset and my very own clipboard.
The headset did not work. It was a toy and the clipboard was empty. But she held it as if there was a job to be done.
Yes, it made my night. You really came through and delivered. I was not expecting it at all. So when you gave it to me, it was amazing. So that was my Town Hall.
That's what I'm saying. We did Town Hall. So two questions. First, you started to tell me you met a lot of call waiting listeners.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So sitting at the merch table was amazing because so many of your fans came up to me and was like, oh my God, it's Belinda, which first of all made me feel so cool. And I also met so many people who listen, you know, who obviously love you, but also listen to the podcast and are loyal podcast listeners. And they said how much they enjoy the podcast and how funny and relatable it is. And it was just so nice to meet everyone in person because
she's being modest. When she told me this offstage, they were also saying how much they love her on the podcast and they love when she fills in and that she does such a good job.
Don't say that so loud.
Oh, you were doing that for security. No, security, they loved you too.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. How do I disconnect this call?
No, they all said that they love security on the podcast.
Oh my gosh. I just wanted to ask you, we knew beforehand that we both were very emotional before the show. You were in front row balcony. Tell me what you were feeling when everyone stood up and started clapping.
We had talked about the bow for like a long time. And so to just finally have like gotten to that moment was so emotional as it was. But then to just see, I mean, I've been a fan of yours for a long time and I've seen you work so hard for this. And so then to just see everyone giving you the standing ovation that you deserved and feeling all the love and like hearing the applause and the laughter just felt so, I can't even describe how proud I am to like watch my friend who I've seen work so hard for this get what she deserves. And Aww. Oh my God, the room was just like electric. Like it just, oh my God, it felt amazing.
I don't want to relive the moment. I just love replaying the moment. Like I'm just so happy. It was so great. And I'm so happy you were there. Oh, my friends, my family, the kids, the listeners, just, it was just such a perfect, it was the perfect storm. It was the perfect night.
It really was.
I'm just so happy. And you know what was the best part? We sold 31 posters.
Yes.
Did we have 500? Yes.
Did we both get paper cuts setting up the posters?
We did get paper cuts. Mine's still killing me.
I know, mine still hurts too, but it was worth it, baby. Blood, sweat, and tears.
All right, Belinda, I love you. We'll find out when security's not coming in next, and we'll get you back
love
in.
Love you too. Congratulations again.
Congratulations on you too.
Okay, bye, bye, guys.
Bye. All right, security.
Yes.
You know what? She's lying. People did say how much they loved you.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know if out loud, but they said it in their heads.
In their heads.
No. I get messages all the time saying, I like Security's end segment.
Thank you.
All right. So what's our end segment?
All right. So, you know, things happened on this tour that you do not know about, that I didn't tell you because I thought maybe you didn't need to know about it.
Okay.
Until now.
Great.
So I thought a game that we could play. I'm going to tell you three things that happened behind your back during this tour. One of them is true. You have to figure out which one it is.
Like two truths and a lie.
Two truths and a lie.
One truth and two lies.
Yes, a truth and a two lies. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
And this happened on tour.
On tour.
Okay, hit me.
Okay, for this one, all happened on the airplane.
Okay.
On one of the airplanes. Okay. A guy came up to me, like one of the airline attendants, asking me if you were single and for your phone number. One of the Airbnbs actually canceled while we were on mid-flight, and I had to find a new Airbnb. So one of the Airbnbs that we went to wasn't one that we originally came up with.
Okay.
And the third one, on one of the airplanes, I used the toilet in the back and clogged it.
Oh, man. I guess the Airbnb?
No.
What?
The flight to Seattle?
Yeah.
Which was a 6-hour, I clogged the back toilet, like maybe when there was an hour left.
How is that even possible? Isn't that that super suction? Like, I don't even think it's possible to clog those.
But it stopped.
I think that's like NASA toilets. How the hell did you clog that?
I don't know, but it stopped working.
What'd you do?
So I went out, you know, it's the one in the back of the plane. Yeah. So like there were at least flight attendants there. And I was like, I'm so sorry, but I think I broke the toilet. It's clogged.
I don't
it's
understand not, how. Does it go, shoo, like a heavy flush?
It did. It went, shoo.
Oh my God. Okay. Next. I wish you kept that a secret.
Okay.
I'm really upset that we did this end segment. I could have lived my entire life without knowing this.
Okay. Here are the things. Okay, this was...
All right. Two lies and a truth.
Two lies and a truth. Okay. During one of the shows, the computer actually died because I forgot to charge it. Yeah. And so there was one show, I think it might have been Vancouver, where a video came in late.
Yeah.
Is because the computer died.
Okay.
Because I didn't charge it.
Next.
There was another show where it was late because I was eating.
definitely. I don't even need to listen to the third one. Okay, what's the third one?
The one where I knocked over the computer. Yeah. It wasn't me. It was someone else.
This is security. You're always missing your cues because you're eating.
Yes. Yes, I was eating.
This has happened on other tours you've missed your cues because you're eating. This was a fabulous end segment.
Thank you.
That was sarcasm. No, that was great. In all sincerity, security, I could not do this tour without you. So thank you very much.
I couldn't have done this tour without you.
That one is true. I could ditch the tech. All right, guys. Thank you, everyone who came out on tour, and to my listeners of Call Waiting. I love you guys so much. Thank you. Next week is going to be back to call in. So I can't wait to talk to you guys. We're going to talk all about Airbnb disasters. So I'm really excited for that one. But always follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Robin Shaw Comics, so you know the topic every week. All right, guys. We have another call.
Call Waiting is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Picot. Editing by Basilio Perez and Jorge Morales Picot. Guest booking by Ali Freelander. Be sure to follow me at Robin Shaw Comic on Instagram and TikTok to find out our next topic and learn when to call each week. And give me a ring at 720-72-ROBIN. That's 720-727-6296.
Betches.